in the catch-up, sitting in for Rusty, and that was great. Really enjoyed it immensely.
Getting a futurist, I mean, if you don't know what a futurist does, a futurist will look at forecasts and predictions, not the crystal ball Nostradamus-type predictions, but business predictions. And I find there's a similarity between what is happening in business and what is happening in life, because life is relevant to what businesses are doing. If everyone's living a great life, the businesses will profit. If people are doing it tough, they've got to change tack, change direction. It's exactly the same with our lives. So Morris Mislowski is a great bloke. We'll talk to him in this hour of the program, and I'm really looking forward to saying good day to him, because how do you predict what's going to happen in, for example, 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months with everything that's happening? It's hard to predict what we're going to have for breakfast tomorrow, let alone looking from the business point of view. So as a global futurist, and also an individual who's got his own blog, we can go and read parts of his work online. We can also contact him directly with Q&A. But you've also got the chance to listen to him on 6PR. Morris Mislowski, welcome back.
It is wonderful to be back. Happy afternoon, everyone.
Yeah, it is. It's 10 minutes after 2, 24 degrees in the city of Perth. And I know that you're on the other side of this great big landmass that we know and love as Australia. But beyond Australia, you know, we're going through our trials and tribulations with fuel, etc. Lots of discussions as a result of the Middle East. But how? How do you, as a futurist, what are your pivot points? What are you aware of, and how do you predict what's going to happen in business?
As you and I have talked about for a long time now, life is uncertain. I mean, we've talked our way, I think, through the GFC, through COVID, through all kinds of things. And the world just goes mad at times, and that's what we're seeing now. You and I wish we could, but we just can't control what's happening out there. But as the saying goes, we can control how we react to it. And really my role is about doing that. It's about trying to figure out what is actually happening, and that's not easy. I mean, at the moment, it's really not easy. But not just taking what we see, going a bit deeper, trying to do research, trying to get a whole lot of different opinions on what is actually happening. And importantly, not so much even about what's happening, but what I call the ripple effects, Todd. You know, the stuff that's going to impact us. So if there is, and there is obviously things going on in the Middle East, how do we make sense of that? Not from a political or religious or anything else, but what are the impacts going to be on us? So we think, we start to look at shipping, we start to look at all kinds of things, and then we bring it back and bring it back until it starts to make a little bit of sense, because we have to make it smaller. It's just too big to grapple with.
No, no, and I'm also conscious too, mate, that as you and I go through our daily lives, I guess us in particular, you're more invested in business, you're looking at the big picture. I'm just looking at what I had for breakfast, putting petrol in the car, driving it to work. You know, I'm worried if someone's in my car park scenario, and I'll park next door. And it's a very sort of a simplistic way to get on with business. That's my philosophy. But I often think to myself, what can I do to make a change? I'm so small on this planet Earth. Maybe there are some things that we can do to, you know, so-called save the planet, and if we all do our bit, bravo. But at the same time, with regards to these large-scale events that are happening globally, we just have to go with the flow at times?
I'm not sure we should go with the flow, because sometimes the flow's wrong. In fact, I often find the flow is wrong. It's going in a direction that isn't all that helpful. It's populist. And especially today, you know, we blame social media for everything. And this isn't about blaming social media, but it's about talking about how much information there is around us. We're literally
right.
Drowning in information. Of course, the best place to find it is from you and from 6PR and to get sensible advice. But beyond that, there's just so much around, and we really do have to ground ourselves in what makes sense. And we have to remember at the end of the day, the beginning of the day, and the middle of the day, that you and I are humans. You talked about business before, and to me, business doesn't exist. It's a whole lot of humans that have gotten together to do something, and we forget that at times. We talk about it as if it's some alien, some beast or something, but it's made up of people inside of it who are making decisions, some good, some bad, some ugly, some impact us, and some impact us in a wonderful way. And that's why I come back to all of these things that are happening around us. We have to go back to what I believe are the really sensible, basic questions. They're the same questions I used to ask when I did my counselling back in the old days, when I used to go into prisons, work on the streets, do all of that. The one thing I realised really quickly that all humans are basically the same in a couple of really fundamental ways. And there's three things that I believe we all do whenever we're confronted by something that doesn't make sense to us, which is kind of like what's happening to us now.
So you're saying to me that some people will affect us for the good or for the bad. I mean, it's amazing to think that one individual person or a couple of individual people in charge of various countries or various businesses can make so much of an impact on so many people. I question the validity, I guess, maybe that's the wrong word. I question the balance of power, because what I see from a distance, and I know that you're, you know, relevant to the world of industry and commerce, etc., but at a street level, you and I are very much aware some people are just doing really well at the moment. They've got a heads up. They seem to be getting richer. The rest of us seem to be either doing it tough or finding it tough or balancing or reshuffling the book or trying to work out where the extra dollar's coming from. I mean, there seems to be two worlds. Morris, am I being sort of too much of a cynic here, or am I... I think I'm getting it right. There just seems to be two worlds.
Yeah, I actually would extend that out. I think you're right, but I don't think you've taken it far enough. And that is that I think there's more than two worlds. I think there are just lots and lots of different variations of the world now. And we're exposed to it, Todd. That's the big difference. This is a nostalgic look, but even when I grew up, there was one centre of information, and that could have been the media, it could have been somebody from the pulpit, it could have been somebody you respected, you know, Uncle Joe or Auntie Mavis or whatever it was. There was a centre of influence that we had in our lives, and that's pretty much where we took our narrative from. In other words, how we thought life should be, what we thought we were entitled to, what we thought we could do, have and do. All of those were fairly central, and now it's so fractured. There are so many people that we're hearing from and that we're listening to. I'm always wondering whether it's not the balance of power, whether it's more the balance of acceptance now, of how readily we are to accept something that we hear from people, and that's just not you and I, but it's society, it's anything. We take the Middle East as an example now too. We're just, I think, too accepting and not questioning enough what's happening. And going back to those human foibles that we have, I'm seeing this time and time again, that what happens when we have these big messages like the Middle East, these things that are happening around us, which are terrible and heinous and nothing good to be said about it, but as humans, we do three things again. And for me, the first thing that we do is we freeze. We just absolutely freeze and we wait for clarity, and clarity never comes. So we start grappling at things, you know, we start grabbing at things, and we hear something, we say, well, that might be a good idea. I'm going to go down that road, but maybe it wasn't that good. It's just us grabbing on something. So we freeze. And that the second part to this, to me, is that we panic react, which is exactly what I've just described. We're so conscious that we have to do something because we've been taught doing nothing is wrong, and I don't believe that. I think doing nothing is actually sometimes a really good thing if it's a conscious decision. But we grapple at having to do something, so we panic react. Perfect example now is this fuel crisis that Australia apparently has now because of the Middle East, that there's now gouging and there's now lines at petrol stations waiting to fill up with diesel and petrol. When we're being told, and I'm not an expert, but I've asked a few people in the last day or so who should know, and they're telling me quite confidently that we have enough fuel to last us our 30 days, which is standard for Australia. But we're overreacting. And the third one, which takes me to this, is that we overcorrect. You know, we swing the pendulum too far, and we just don't take that middle ground. And I'm sensing, in fact, I know that's what's happening with my business clients and the people I'm seeing around me too, me as well, that those three things are happening to all of us, which makes it seem even worse, if that's possible, psychologically, than it actually might be.
I guess it all comes back to the psychology of us as humans, because when something happens, you know, often we will assess, we'll try and judge the situation. We will almost try and find someone to blame for what's going on. And once we jump to that conclusion, sometimes you don't get the opportunity to get all the information in. If you've already passed judgment on something, you're set in concrete. It's very hard to change that. Open conversation is important. And the other thing too is, and a quick question if you don't mind me asking before I bid you farewell, because I'm really enjoying this. Morris Mislowski is our guest. MorrisMiz.com is where you can find the blog that he's just put up and running, which I think is totally relevant to all of us. But we are very much aware and have been becoming more of a global market. At a global level, it's all about global business. It's all about the fat cats getting richer and richer. It's all about the global market as opposed to the country. Now, of course, some countries in the world are putting themselves first. And it, you know, it's America first. It's that individualization as opposed to the global market. With everything that's happening in the Middle East, and it's starting to affect so many people because it's oil and we all do need oil, but we're also a part of the global market. But we in Australia, we don't have enough oil for ourselves. We have to import. Because we are so connected to the rest of the world, at times it's a huge benefit. At other times, we get sort of kicked.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I mean, it really is. And Australia, for better or for worse, and this is across politics, you know, across both sides of the party, have made decisions over the last 30 or 40 years that we want to offshore, that we don't think that we should be building cars or looking for oil and keeping it. We've made those decisions as a society. They seem maybe to have made sense at the time to those political parties or to the people that made them. And at times, they just don't. And that's what we're seeing now, that some of those decisions are coming back to bite us. That doesn't mean they were wrong. It just means that in this instance, at this particular moment, for this particular need, maybe they weren't. And that's, again, what concerns me, that we might make the wrong decisions based on what we need now rather than what we need ongoing. Because I'm not sure that we, as much as I would love to bring it all back to Australia, I'm not sure that we're capable, competent, or it's necessary to have those things here in normal times. Not now, of course, but in normal times. And hopefully you and I will live in normal times more often than we don't.
I'm hopeful too, my friend. Morris Mislowski is our super-duper guest. And MorrisMizzle.com is where you can find the blog. It's a very interesting read. And Morris, I'm going to keep your phone number. It will never be lost in my phone, because every now and then I think about you and I think in the world that we live in at the moment, how does a futurist plan for the future? There's a lot to take in. A lot of it is common sense, but again, there's some questions that you've brought to my mind after our conversation I'm going to think about even more so. Morris Mizzle, or Morris Mislowski, great to have you with us as always, mate. We'll talk again soon.
A pleasure. Have a great afternoon, everyone.
Thank you, sir. Morris Mislowski, you can find Morris Mislowski at morrismizzle.com, and that's where you'll find the blog spot. There's a lot of stuff in there too, and he's a great bloke and a fair dinkum Australian who is more than happy to help out where possible. 21 minutes after 1 o'clock, I believe there's a birthday boy.